Well, this morning we do want to focus on our cell groups and then also on communion. But before we do that, I want to say thank you. As I shared last Sunday in church, for those of you that weren't here, my friend John Smith from Pilot Mount Crystal City area passed away. He was an elder in our church, and he had asked me a month ago to do his funeral. And call to me, or his desire for his funeral, he says, it was to me, Peter, my friends are going to be there, and I want you to tell them about Jesus. And it was an incredible opportunity. There were a lot of non-church people there. John had a seed business and had a lot of connections all over. And some of you may know, just talking to Ernie Wheeler, some of you may know their kids from Winkler Bible Camp. Ryan Smith is the Youth for Christ director in Pilot Mound. Walter Smith was at Mission Point, I think. And Julia Smith, I don't know if those names ring a bell. Riley is just on his way, the youngest, to SBC. And anyway, the funeral went well. I just really felt, I thank you for praying. I really felt a freedom. I felt, the Holy Spirit just helping me with the funeral. John had preached a sermon 4.5 years ago in our church, and he had had a big hourglass. And in the hourglass, he had put it onto the podium or wherever it was. And his message was, one day your sand will run out. And how are you living your life with the sand you have left? And so it really gave me an incredible springboard into his 4.5 years later, his sand ran out. And none of us knows when our sand will run out. And yet it's important for us to reflect on how we're living our lives. And so out of that, John had had arranged with the Gideons, and he had talked to me about it, that he wanted anybody that was at the service that did not have a Bible and wanted one, that they could just go, and the Gideons were there, and the Gideons would provide one. And so at the service, 15 people went and got Bibles, and after the next day, another 4 people requested Bibles. So very thankful for the way that all turned out, and thank you so much for your prayers. And just was, in some ways, somebody asked me how did it go, and I just said it was both the easiest and hardest funeral I've ever preached. It was hard because of my emotional attachment, my connection to him, but it was easy in the sense that there I could have preached. I did a, you know, it was a 20-25 minute service, but a sermon that I did, but I could have gone a lot longer with it, just because of the material that was there. So thank you for praying. Okay, we are focusing this morning on our cell groups, and if you've checked your mailbox, I think there's a sheet that says cell groups phone tree there. First of all, I want to thank Loretta and Louise for doing all this work and getting this organized. You put little slips into boxes and about children and not children in groups, and trying to organize all that, communicate or connecting with a number of you by phone just to see how this was going to all work. And so this is what the groups that have been formed, and if you can look really closely, and if you don't have bifocals like me, and you can see that there's the top ones are in our italics. Those are the people that are going to be actively involved in that cell group, and then underneath that, kind of continues with the group that deacon couple or whatever will take care of. But it's also about our phone tree. So example being if we decide we need to cancel church because of a snowstorm, Bob and I would contact each of the cell group leaders, and then they would then start a phone tree that way. And even prayer requests, we would use it that way as well. So that just helps us to organize some of those things. And I again want to say thank you to all the deacon couples that are leading cell groups. Appreciate so much. And I mean, part of it is we know that's their job in a sense to do it, but we are so thankful for their willingness to step up and do this. And then also I want to give a special thanks to Nathan and Rose, to Stephen and Megan, Matt and Jen, and Daniel and Helen, who have also chosen to be part of leading care groups. And with the church the size it is, we quickly realized that we need to get more groups involved, and we need to get other leaders involved. And so that these are the groups that have been formed, so you can check that out and connect with your cell group leader, and hopefully you have a good winter of studying God's word together, of gathering together, and in growing in him. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for for the connections you bring. And Lord, that you give each of us a unique grace. Lord, your word says that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to each one of us so that we can minister to someone else. And Lord, I want to thank you for the diversity and the various gifts that are in this room right here. And Lord, I pray that as our cell groups get going, Lord, those that have serving gifts and hospitality gifts and teaching gifts and encouragement gifts and, Lord, wisdom gifts and so many various gifts, Lord, that each one will bring their gifts to their group. And, Lord, that they will use and their gifts to minister to other people. Lord, that the body can be growing, that the body can build itself up in love. And so, Lord, as we start off this new cell group season, I pray, Lord, that you will help them with the adjustments that need to be made as they maybe are in groups with people that they don't know as well or maybe not as comfortable with. And God, I pray for guidance and wisdom for the leaders. May you give them much help and supernatural strength. And Lord, for each of the groups, may you help them to gel. May you help them to find that place of trust and a vulnerability and care for each other. And so, God, we ask that you would also help each of the groups to be looking not only about themselves, but outwardly, looking for those that they can invite in and bring into that place of caring and learning and growing together. So, Lord, we ask for your blessing on our cell groups over this winter especially, but, Lord, in the days to come, and ask for you to guide and direct in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture I would like to read this morning is very familiar. I won't just maybe use all of this, but just I thought, what do I talk about when I use thinking of new cell groups? And I thought, you know what? What better passage can you choose than 1 Corinthians chapter 13? So let me read the chapter. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove the mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So when we think of building cell groups that bring us closer to God and closer to one another, I think at the heart of that, we need to have love. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or in angels and do not have love, or if I have prophetic gift, if I have knowledge and wisdom, if I have all these gifts, if I have faith that moves mountains, if I give my body to be burned, are these all good things? Yes, they are. These are gifts that God gives. But he says, if these gifts are not being used and motivated by love, he says it profits nothing. And so love is that bond of unity, that perfect bond of unity. And so when we think of the church, we meet here Sunday mornings, Sunday by Sunday. But we're also called, I think, to minister to each other in smaller settings. Let me just read a couple verses from Acts 2:42 says, They were continually devoting. This is the early believers. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So that was something that they did. They devoted themselves to these things, and that's what we've wanted our cell groups to reflect. That there's a teaching time. There's a time in God's Word that you spend together. That it's devoting yourselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to building relationships, to building breaking bread. We our cell groups, most of them, I don't think have communion together, but there's some element of food, is fellowship, relationship time that happens, and there's time of prayer that happens. And in all of that, we've kind of used that as a bit of a model for what we do. We don't, maybe a guideline, but those are four things that we hope happen in our cell group meeting times, in those small group times. And in those times, there's opportunity for feedback. You can engage with the scriptures. You can engage with each other's lives and say, how does this apply to me? What, this is what I'm dealing with. How would you apply that scripture? And each other, the group can then help with wisdom. In this situation, I get to do all the talking. You don't get to give me feedback. You don't, maybe you guess you could, but I'd rather you didn't right now. Just let me talk. But in a cell group setting, there's opportunity for that feedback and for bringing about clarity and understanding. Acts 2, verse 46 and 47 talks about day by day continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. So in that sense, they were in the temple, in the bigger meetings, in the bigger settings, but then house to house. They were meeting together. And Acts 5:42 says, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So small groups to me are about relationships that bring us closer to God and bring us closer to one another. And I think love is important for us to foster that atmosphere of growth. And I would call it maybe that greenhouse effect. You think of plants growing outside or plants growing in a greenhouse. In a greenhouse, there's just the humidity levels and sunshine and light and all those things are controlled. And we hope that that kind of atmosphere is there in our cell groups. And I think it's important for each of us to bring our best to the cell group. I know that there's times when you're tired, you have had a difficult time, difficult day. You're the one that's going to come in need of care and need of encouragement. But for all of us, I think it's just a reminder for us to bring our best and to create that kind of atmosphere of safety, of caring for one another. I want to remind us, today we're focusing on our cell groups, and you have a list in front of you, different groups, but I want to remind us that the cell groups aren't the only small groups that are in our church. Every Sunday morning, there's classrooms downstairs that are cell groups. They're small groups. There's teachers and there's the children and teenagers that are in a small group. They're in a cell group. They're together. They're opening the Word of God. They're praying together. They're discussing the Word of God and seeking to apply it to their hearts. The discipleship process is happening in our Sunday school classes. We say they're Sunday school classes, but they're really small groups. They're small groups of people that gather with Jesus in the center and seeking to grow and to learn. We have small groups in youth group, Wednesdays and Monday nights, depending which nights Trevor chooses for youth group, junior youth and senior youth. They're small groups that get together with Christ as the center for these purposes, for this reason. I'm not sure if it's still Thursday night when Bob and the worship team gets together. It's a small group, right? They're practicing here for praise and worship on Sunday morning, but it's not just about music. It's about caring for each other. It's about maybe about praying together. It's about encouraging each other along the way. And so it's a small group that gets together with a purpose. Ultimately, their purpose is to prepare for worship on a Sunday morning. But I want us to think about our small groups in that way. We have a program committee that meets. We have our church council that meets. We have ministerial that meets. They're all small groups, right? They're designed with a certain task in mind, and there's certain job and a agenda that's there. But my desire would be for each of them them to have some sort of, and I think most of them have missions committee would be another one. There's some sort of a devotional that's about what is God wanting to do and giving the time to God and some sort of a prayer about, you know, this is the task that we need to do. These are the things that we need to organize and plan. And but that it's done with Christ as the center. And even there, in the part of conversation, that there's some questions that happen. How are things going? What's going on? And that even there, the element of care and discipleship and fellowship and relationships are even there. It's not just about the task at hand. It's not about getting through the agenda. It's also about caring for each other in the body of Christ. So yes, today we're focusing on our cell groups. You have a list in front of you, but it's about a lot of small groups in our church, and it can be just about simple having somebody in your home and in caring and providing that type of instruction and guidance as well. I would like to read this morning a couple of verses from Zechariah that have really been speaking to me when I think of connecting God's people together. I think it's in that good connection, healthy connection that we really spur each other on. And Zechariah chapter 3. Is an account of the high priest Joshua of the day, and God takes him and he's actually standing before God, and Satan is there to accuse him, and he's clothed in filthy clothes, and an angel says, "We're going to take these filthy clothes off, and we're going to give you new vestments. We're going to give you new clothing," and so this all happens, and God speaks to him, and he says, "This is a sign." This is a sign of what the branch, my servant, the branch is going to do. The branch in Scripture prophetically is of Jesus, speaking of Jesus. And then it says this in Zechariah 3 verses 9 and 10. It says this, "For behold, on the stone that I have set before Joshua, on a single stone with seven eyes, I will engrave its inscription, declares the Lord of hosts." And then he says this, "I will remove the iniquity of this land in a single day. In that day, declares the Lord of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbor to come under his vine and under his fig tree." So God says, "I will remove the iniquity of the people in one day." And he says, in that day, the result is they're going to be opening their home. He says, "Then every one of you will invite his neighbor to come under his vine and under his fig tree." So it's just an interesting connection that as soon as iniquity is atoned for, as soon as iniquity is removed, he says immediately there's an open heart. Now things are right with God, and all of a sudden our hearts get opened, and we're inviting people under our fig tree. We're inviting them under our vine. To me, it's just about now I can have relationship. Now my home is open. Now I have room for, I have space for somebody else. And I think that was so fitting when we think of communion. It's because of what Christ did on the cross for us that iniquity was atoned for. And he says, in that day, you will open your home. You will open your life for more relationships. And I think it's important for us to be reminded of that. There may be obstacles that you have, and some of them very legitimate, for not maybe joining a cell group. And I want to speak to those that have chosen not to for whatever reason. I understand that you all have legitimate reasons. One could just be simply fear. There's the fear of, if I join a cell group, they're going to ask me to lead the study. If I join a cell group, I might have to open my heart in a way that I'm not comfortable. If I join a cell group, I don't know what your fear might be. I would encourage you. I think Scripture calls us to meet together. Scripture calls us to grow and learn from each other. So fear might be something that some of you struggle with. I would encourage you. We really try to work and have our cell groups as a safe place that, you won't be put out of your, you might be stretched, but that you're not put too far out of your comfort zone. Other thing, you might just be putting it off, or there's scheduling conflicts. And I understand life is busy, and there's just scheduling issues. You have kids that are involved in different things, and making that time. I guess I would just ask you and challenge you to look at what your priorities are in life. Is it really more important that your kids are in hockey and baseball and dance or whatever it is that you choose? And I'm not saying those things are all wrong, but if they start choking out some of these things that biblically God commands us, We need to maybe look at reorganizing our priorities. Our cell groups meet, most of them, what, twice a month, every second week, something along those lines. Is that too much to say, I want to invest in someone else in our church by being part of that encouragement process, and also growing as a believer as well? So Scripture calls us, I think, when I pull us back to wrapping this up, calls us to walk in love. He says that love is going to be shown in our attitudes to other people. Love is patient, kind, not jealous, envious. Love is that ultimate cheerleader, I think. It's not arrogant or proud. It's not just about me. So love is really shown in our attitudes to other people. But it's also love is shown in how we speak to other people. In this passage that I just read in 1 Corinthians 13, it's like Paul takes love, and you're probably all familiar with a prism. Light, white light comes through a prism, and then all of a sudden it just gets expanded into the whole spectrum of colors. And here, that's what Paul does. He says, this is what love looks like. It's this, love looks like this, and then he expands it into this full picture of what it really is, and gives us this whole list. So love is shown in our words. It's in unselfish speech. It doesn't brag. It's not about its own. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not easily angered or provoked. Love is a good listener, I think we could say from this. Does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Love looks at a brother and sister and say, okay, I see your life going this way. Love, we sometimes think love would just let them go that way. No, love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Love looks and says, I care enough about you that I can see this way is not a healthy way. Love rejoices in the truth. And so love is not just about being passive. Love is getting involved in somebody's life and say, some of the choices I'm watching you make, I'm getting concerned that they're taking you from God, and that you need to be pulling you back. So love really has is about unselfish actions, and it can be difficult, but God calls us, he teaches us to love one another. We are taught by God to love. So God's love is an initiating kind of love. It's a reconciling kind of love, but it's also self-giving. So I'd like to just remind us of that, and trust that as we spend time in communion and are reminded of the love of Christ for us, that that will be at the center of our small groups this season, and that as each of you bring what God has given you to that place in small group ministry, that that the groups will be blessed. And so before I invite the ministerial up, I just want to share a few things about communion this morning. Communion is one of those times when I think we just reconnect. We reconnect with God. We reconnect with each other as we celebrate communion together as a church family. We've had summer. A lot of us have been gone in different times. But I want to bring us back again to the heart of the gospel. I want to bring us back to what Christ did for us at the cross. I want to bring us back to the forgiveness that he extends to us. I want to bring us back to the living hope that we're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. He says, do this in remembrance of me. And so the communion table is so simple. There's unleavened bread. There's a cup of juice, the bread symbolizing the broken body of Jesus Christ for us. The cup with the juice symbolizing the blood that was shed for us. So I just have three things I want you to look at this morning. First of all, there's the look back, or the look to the cross. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, we proclaim the Lord's death. So we're looking back to Christ's death and say, why did he die? He died there for sins. He died there for my sins. And as I put my faith in Christ and believe what he did for me at the cross, I appropriate his forgiveness. I appropriate his payment in full for my sins, that he actually purchased me. He purchased you with his blood, that we would belong to God. And that's an amazing thing, that we can say, I belong to God. I have been redeemed. I have been purchased. And so this communion table reminds us, so there's a look back, looking back to the cross and the redemption and the purchase that God has made for us, and that we could be forgiven, and that our names could be written in heaven, that he has our names written in heaven. So there's the look back to the cross. Then there's, I think, the look inside. The look inside is about my life. Where is my life not lining up with God? Where is my life veering off? Where is my life going in directions that would be displeasing to God? In 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. So before we look at the cross, but we have to also look at our own life and say, I have to examine my life. What are my motives? What are my priorities in life? Where is my life going? Am I going to live my life with the sand that I have left? Those days that God gives me, am I going to live them for Christ? Am I going to live them in a way that would be pleasing to Him? So we look inside. We look at our own hearts. But then we also look around us. In 1 Corinthians 10:17 says, because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of that one loaf. So he says, we're not eating many little pieces. In a sense, these are broken. But the idea is that we have all come from the same family, that we are dealing with each other as brothers and sisters. And especially when we think of cell groups and our meeting together, it's about our relationships. And if one member suffers, the Bible says we all suffer with that. If one member rejoices, we all rejoice with them. So there's a sense of community that happens, that what holds us together is our relationship with Christ. This is what binds us together. We sang a beautiful song, it will bind us together, Lord. And it's this binds us together. This is the heart that we belong to the same family. We together call God our Father and Jesus our Lord. And that ultimately binds our hearts. So we look around and look at our relationships with each other. And then finally, we look ahead. Scripture says we do this until He comes. There's a hope element with this. This is about not just about life here. This is about Jesus coming back for us. And we want to look forward to His return. So with that, I just am going to invite the deacons to come. And we will celebrate communion together. And I'm going to ask the different deacons to pray. And we will distribute the elements. One thing I would like to make explanation for, there's going to be something a little bit different. And that is with the bread for this this time. This bread that you see here maybe doesn't look to you like a loaf of bread, but this is matzo bread. This is unleavened bread. This would be probably the kind of bread that Jesus would have used. When bread doesn't have any yeast or leaven in it, it doesn't rise. And so this is matzo bread. Louise had this in her store, and she thought she would just bring it to show it to us. And so we decided today we would use this for communion. And when it says, this is my body that's broken for you. So you will find in each of the trays, there's the pieces that are broken. I'm going to put a small piece of this into each one of them. If you want to break it yourself, that's okay. But there are broken pieces in each of these trays. And so with that, I'm going to just maybe a couple things just mention. If you are here today and you're visiting with us and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you trusted Him for forgiveness of sins and that your name is written and recorded in heaven, I would invite you to join us in celebrating communion together. If you can't say honestly before God that you are a believer in Christ, we would just ask you then to allow the communion elements to pass by you, just pass them on to the next person. And for parents, again, that you would supervise your children. You know as parents best where your children are at. You choose whether or not they take part in the communion or not. So with that, I'm going to ask Pete Peters, I believe, to pray for the bread. Is that right? Okay, so I will give you this. And not sure. I think it's on now. So we'll ask Pete to pray.
Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for my sin, our sins, and the sin of the world. And Lord, the Bible tells us you struggled when facing the cross, and yet you said, not my will, but your will be done. So Lord, as we take part of this bread, we ask that you, that we are mindful of what you've done for us, and that we thank you that you have made us worthy to take part in this communion. In your name we pray. Amen.
So Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you. His body was broken for us at the cross. And so we'll distribute the bread. We'll ask that you will take it, and then that you will hold it in your hands till we can all eat together. So just invite, so we'll allow you to go and distribute the bread. Is there anybody that's been missed? Jesus said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together and remember the body of Christ broken for us. Scripture says, in the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." I'll ask Trevor to lead us in prayer for the cup.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your blood shed for us. And Lord, we struggle to comprehend just the sacrifice that you made on that day, Lord. But we praise you that you chose to go to the cross for our sins. And Lord, today as we remember what you've done for us, Lord, I pray that we would just realize the incredible love that you have for us and the symbolism of your blood for the freedom of our sins. Amen.
Amen. Again, we will distribute the cups. We ask you to hold them, and then at the end, we'll all drink together.
Is there anyone that's been missed?
Jesus said, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the covenant you have made with us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that we could say we belong to you, that we could say that our sins have been blotted out and forgiven, and that you will remember them no more. God, we thank you. Thank you for your covenant love to us. And God, today as we have been reminded of your love, we ask that you would help us to extend that to other members in the body of Christ, and to extend that to a world that does not know you and needs to know you. God, give us a fresh love in our hearts for you, for others in the body of Christ, and for others outside, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.